Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
Hello and welcome to the 34th episode of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is your host, Amy Hackett-Jones, happiness and high performance coach and hypnotist for being brilliant in the way you both live and lead your life and those around you. You can find me at www.amyhackett.jones.com. The Being Brilliant radio show is a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. The show invites you, our listeners, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. My guests bring a combination of inspirational teachings covered with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills translated into actionable strategies so that you, our listeners, may step into being the very best version of yourselves. My interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, wayseers, visionaries, as well as friends and family, those whom I believe live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their own light so others may do the same. And of course, today is no exception. Today we have the most wonderful woman I've met in a very long time, Denise Mortimer. I met her probably 3 or 4 weeks ago now at an event called Unleash Your Goddess. And my goodness, is she an unleashed goddess. Denise is a thought controller, and she works with groups and individuals to overcome limited thinking and help them create a life where they make up new rules. And she believes that there are far too many people living below their potential, living in a poverty mindset in relation to what they can really achieve. So she says, call it what you want, genius, consciousness, God, positive emotions, fabulousness, high vibration, it's all the same thing. Getting to a place where we experience the world from a more joyful place. And I'd just like to add, Denise has a master's degree in happiness. Welcome to the show, Denise.
Hello, thank you for having me here.
Oh, it's a huge pleasure. And it was such a pleasure to meet you at Unleash Your Goddess. My goodness me. It was quite an event, and you definitely added the sparkle to the whole thing.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And it was an absolute pleasure to meet you on the day and hear what you had to say about your mindful practices. That was really beautiful. Everything that you said, you moved everybody to tears. It was an incredible exercise.
I know it did, didn't it? Literally,
yeah.
Half of them were in tears and trying to wake up, but good tears, happy tears.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Amazing. Well, welcome, and it's a huge pleasure to have you here. And I would like to dive right in and for you to open up really about your story and, you know, the challenges and that sort of thing that you've had to overcome, because we all love a good story. So just sort of give us a roundup of how you got to be where you are today.
Well, Amy, my journey into personal development started about 20 years ago when I discovered Tony Robbins, when I first read a Tony Robbins book, and then I studied NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming.
Yep.
And I spent my, up to about 30 years old, living by these rules that I didn't create for myself. You know, the rules of life, like, you know, you grow up, you go to school, and you then you go to university, and you get married, and you buy a house, and then you go like, oh my God, whose life is this? Like, who made these rules up?
Right. So,
when I discovered NLP and Tony Robbins, I was like, wow, I could think for myself. I can make my own rules up. I can manage my thought processes. I finally realized I had permission to think for myself. So it's been a very long journey. It's taken me 20 years to get where I am, but we're all work in progress and we're always learning and evolving. But I had this revelation. Can I tell you about it? When I was out jogging the other day, what happened to me?
Sure.
So this is, I call this my furball story, coughing up a furball. You know, cats have those furballs. Well, I've been doing so much work on myself, lots of healing stuff and lots of therapeutic things to sort of get, because to serve my clients, I have to be in the most optimal mental shape that I can be. So I'm constantly working on myself. And I was out running, and I had this healing from a friend of mine, and I was out running, and suddenly I had this image of me as 7 years old at this wedding. It was my eldest sister's wedding, and I was the youngest one there. And when the bride was going to throw the bouquet, you know, she throws it over her shoulder, and you know, you're supposed to catch it, whoever the single women are. So being the 7 year old there, all the influential people in my life, they were like, Denise, stand here. And I didn't understand why they were telling me to stand in a particular place. So me being as strong-minded as I was, as soon as they put me in a space, I took a step over to the side because I didn't want to stand where they told me to stand. So when the bride when the bride threw her bouquet, it went where I was supposed to be standing, and it didn't come to me. So that might not sound like a significant moment in time, but what happened at that moment was everybody came over to me afterwards and they said, we told you to stand there so you could catch a bouquet. And they were so disappointed in me. And Amy, when I was out running, see, I made all these decisions about life in that moment. And this is what emerged when I was out running. This was the fur ball I coughed up. Suddenly, I recognized so many of my decisions in life had been linked to that moment in time. Whenever I wanted to do something and I felt like I needed to seek permission from other people, I would go back to that moment in time, being like, oh my God, if I don't do what people tell me, I'll screw things up. I won't get it right. I won't win the prize. I can't stand on my own two feet. I better do what the significant people say, otherwise I'll disappoint everybody. And these decisions shaped my life so profoundly.
This is huge, and I'm gonna let you finish the story, but I'm gonna come back to this because this is one of the biggest things that I know I work with people, and I know you also do too. And it's that seeking of approval and the not good enough story. But I want to circle back to it with you because I know we're gonna get some juicy content. so carry on.
Well, I did what any sane person does when they're out jogging at 6 o'clock in the morning and they have this revelation. I came home and I'm like, I need to do a Facebook Live. I have to tell everybody that they have a furball they can cough up. Mm-hmm. It was such a significant.
I love that analogy, by the way.
Well, that's what I was like. Oh my God! Like suddenly, so many limitations that I had imposed on myself came back to me. And the fact was, this was at 7 years old, and seven, mm-hmm. between naught to seven are your imprint years where you're painting your palette. So you've got this fresh canvas and you're painting it, and whatever's painted there is pretty much going to stick with you unless you do some deep work to get rid of it, if it's not serving you well. So it was a beautiful and bizarre moment. To have this recognition. And that was it. I came home and I told a few people in my life, and it's now one of my core stories when I do speaking events, because I'm like, who here, when I tell the story, I'm like, who here has a furball? And every hand goes up. Everybody can think, oh, yes, they recognize something that they limited themselves. So that was really big for me. I'd been working on things like this for 20 years, and it took me 20 years. That was a 20-year-old furball coming up.
Quite some verbal, huh?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I'd done a lot of growth over the years, but that was like this major moment. So, so it's now part of my story.
And so, what is it that you do now? Now that you've got, I mean, I know you've been working in the self-development industry for a while, but let's go a little bit further forwards now, and then I'll circle back to this afterwards. So you have this, you know, this verbal moment, and now you work with clients, and what do you help them do?
Oh, well, I've been working with clients for years, and it's typically women that I work with because I find that obviously I can relate because I am a woman, but I find that women are accustomed as a cultural thing to put themselves second. Even high performance women often put themselves second. Mm-hmm. Because they have a family or they have a husband or they have someone else that they have to attend to. And so I find that they're reluctant to invest in themselves. They're reluctant to challenge limited thinking. They're easily led to believe that they can be less than they are. So I shine a light on what's possible for them. So they recognize, and I do it in a very playful way. You know me, you met me at the Goddess event, and I do it in a very playful way, getting them to acknowledge the the language patterns, because we leak so much information from our language, as you'll know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you only have to have a brief conversation with someone to be able to predict what's going to happen to them.
Yeah, I know. And you can observe their thinking as they're speaking. It's quite amazing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And just giving them simple tools from the world of positive psychology, which we made reference to earlier. My degree is in positive psychology. Just giving them simple things to put in place. I think people are afraid of change because they think it's going to mean that suddenly your life is going to overhaul overnight, when actually it's the compounded effect of doing small things towards what you want to get that are going to be transformational to you. It doesn't mean you have to, like, you know, walk away from everything that you know. It's about putting little things in place. And one of the most profound ways, and I think you'll probably go with this as well, appreciate this as well, is about gratitude. Just getting people to practice gratitude, like at a deep, profound level. Not like, you know, we say, Amy, don't take anything for granted. You know, how many people say that? It's quite, people go, don't take any, you mustn't take anything for granted. How many things do we actually take for granted? Do we get up every day and go, well, do you think, oh, I have this lovely bed and this lovely pillow, and I can brush my teeth and I can flush the toilet and I can drink fresh water? These are the little things. When people start really being grateful at that, like, minute level, that's a whole new world. It doesn't have to be like, I'm grateful for being alive. It's great to be grateful for being alive, but it's also like, don't forget all the little things, that you can go to the shop, that you can pick up your phone, that you can watch TV, that you can go for a walk, that you have a pet, you've got neighbors, there's so much to be grateful for.
And not just once when you're told to, but every single day, right?
Yes. And one of the other things that I've just been introduced to, and I think you're quite, you do a lot of meditation. Do you not do a lot of meditation?
I do, yeah.
Yes. This has just been, I've just been exposed to this in the last sort of 4 or 5 months, the huge impact, and all my clients now, I've got them meditating and their lives are just transforming. They're just doing like guided meditations from YouTube. There's an amazing assortment on there. And they're getting amazing results. They're recognizing how they can reprogram themselves, and they could do it while they're sleeping.
Isn't that the best thing ever? And you're right. There are so many guided meditations on YouTube.
Yeah.
Just a matter of looking for them. Amazing. And so what's the kind of work that you do with your clients? Do you do it one-on-one or do you do big groups? How does that work?
My current thing that I'm loving at the moment is doing online programs with people, and the group coaching, I absolutely love it. I've got like a small group at the moment. I've got 20 women in a group, and they're so supportive of each other. And we're actually meeting in person. They're traveling from all over the country to meet in person on Saturday. There's such a strong support for each other. And this is the third time I've run this particular online program, and it seems to be growing in strength. And I give them a coaching session at the beginning, at the end, so we can sort of clarify what they want and then make sure at the end that they're somewhere near getting it. And then in the middle, there's communication during in a secret Facebook group. And I just love working with people like this, because they're, as soon as you like get them on the starting line and you've got the right clients in there, they're just ready to go and they're flying. And one lady started a business and she's got clients coming in already, and other people are like sorting their relationships out and moving away from things that don't serve them well. And it's just amazing to see the incredible growth in these people. So I think I love the group coaching, maybe just a little bit more than one-to-one at the moment.
Yeah. I know that also from my own little private Facebook group as well, is when you bring people together, when you build community, it really helps. I mean, we saw it at the event, the Unleash Your Goddess event there as well. When you bring a whole bunch of people together, the energy just uplifts. And people, when they start to feel comfortable in that space, they're able to be more vulnerable, able to get their stuff out and talk about it and heal it and release it and let it go.
Yes, yeah.
All those struggles.
And that's I'm observing that, and I love watching that in the group. There are days when I'm doing something else and I'm not as active in the group, and I'll check in that evening, and there'll have been so much support for one person who's going in, going, you know, I'm having a bad day today for whatever reason. And everyone is just like, you know, just put virtual arms around them and say, come here, sister, we're all here in this together and we're here for you. And just absolutely magical. I love it.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? So this is Amy Hackett-Jones speaking to Denise Mortimer, and your website is www.denisemortimer.com. And you're actually based in the UK these days, aren't you?
I am indeed.
And where do you hail from?
I hail from Long Island, New York, and I spent 19 years of my life there, and I moved over here when I was just after I turned 20, I moved here, and I've been here for coming up to 33 years now.
Goodness me. And so what made you come to England all that time ago?
Well, I came over because I wanted to travel and I wanted to come to an English-speaking country in one of the first instances. Little did I realize that we speak the same language, but we don't understand each other.
I love that.
So it was eye-opening for me, but I'm very English now. I even have my British passport now. I acquired it just over a year ago. Yes, yeah.
We're very pleased to have you, shining your light and all of that sparkle.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, I love my home in the UK. I found it a little bit difficult to settle in initially because from an American perspective, Americans are very all-embracing, like literally embracing. You know, welcome to my house. My house is your house. And I felt that the British folk were a little bit more reserved. Yet I did find that when you do get into their inner circle, you're there for good. You know, you make friends for life. But it's not an immediate open door policy. It's a like, prove it and you can come in.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing. I love it. Cool. Well, I want to circle back now to the fur ball, and I want to dive deeper into that. And then I want to come back to your life and your dreams and that sort of thing afterwards.
Because
this is just such a hugely pertinent thing to be talking about, really. I know, you know, with my clients and in the self-development industry in general, it is about finding, as you call it, this fur ball moment. And allowing ourselves to dive in there and having the skills, or at least learning the skills, whether it's from a coach or a mentor or somebody, to be able to dive in and to turn them around, transform and release all of the negative stuff. So this verbal moment of yours that you coughed up, I just love it. And you realize that this was from when you were about 7 years old, and like you say, from 0 to 7 is our sort of imprint years. This is where our thinking gets set. You know, we're influenced by those around us, whether it's school, parents, culture, etc. So I'd just like you to share a bit more about this and what your understanding of it and the imprinting process and getting to 7 and having that moment happen for you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to turn back the clock a little bit further than the furball moment, because actually that was a turning point in my life for a number of reasons, because a few months prior to that wedding, I had also been bereaved because my mother had died. So she died very young. And so this had a huge impact on how I was going to then see the world from that point onwards. So when I was at that wedding and I made all those decisions, that was from a place of a bereaved child as well. So still trying to come to terms with the fact that I'd lost a significant person in my life. But my understanding of the whole imprinting process is like, you know, you've got this blank canvas, and your subconscious or unconscious mind, whichever you refer to, it's the same thing. You've got your conscious and then your unconscious, and your unconscious mind is the blank canvas, and everything that happens to you, like all the events and all the people, you just paint that palette, and you might not realize that you're painting it. And then we grow into adults and we behave in ways, but we never understand why we behave in those ways. But we're like wedded to them. We're so attached to them. We're never going to part from them. And I had this conversation. I was just at a wedding yesterday, and I was chatting with an old friend of mine, and he's like, oh, you're doing great in your business. I said, yes, but, you know, I'm talking about beliefs and what I believe is true. And he said, you know, I'm good where I am. You know, there's nothing more for me out there. This is good enough. And I'm like, that's an interesting belief system. And he goes, it's not a belief system. I said, of course it's a belief system.
So, oh my goodness.
He was arguing for like, that is the truth. And that's not a belief system, not recognizing that, you know, he believes that. And, you know, absolutely committed to that. And I said, that's not true at all. And he's a little bit younger than me. I said, I've embarked on my own business. I've been doing this for years, but I've always done it as a sideline to having a job because it was, I was worried myself. I was kind of like, oh, I don't know how to run my own business. And then I had to get brave and step out into it. And I said, you know, I've done this myself at 52 years old. I've started a business. I've left work for good. And he's like, yeah, well, that's you. And that's because you think that's possible. And I'm like, you, he didn't quite get that. If he was open to if he found something he really wanted to do, that he could actually create that he could be a powerful creator in his own life.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of resigned himself that this was the way it was going to be for him. So, he's not an ideal client for me.
No, definitely not.
This is what I do with my ladies. So I love working with women because I love their openness and I love their responsiveness to when they get it. You know, when they get it and they really get it. It's just amazing. It's beautiful to see their growth, and I refer to it often as like. So many people that I work with have what I call they're functioning below sea level. So they're sort of swimming in negative emotions. And every once in a while, they pop up to either sea level or above sea level where they have a really great day and they're feeling really on fire and really confident and everything is going great. And it's a moment in time. And so they're spending 80% below sea level and 20% either at sea level or above. And what I like to do is talk to them about changing that ratio. So the 80% above sea level and 20% low, because you're not always going to get, you need the lows to appreciate the highs. And we're not always going to be on a high. So getting them to recognize that they can actually take charge and create an 80%, you know, using that 80-20 rule to their favor, that they can start to create a more above sea level ratio for themselves. And this is what I do over the course as well, because obviously consistency is key to success. Mm-hmm. So knowing what they want and the consistency. So over the 5 weeks, they have a number of challenges and they have a number of things. There are certain things they need to do. They need to start a morning routine so that they start to embed these things. So it becomes habit, and getting them to recognize that they've created habits that have been unhelpful. And so I say, yes, congratulations, you've done it. You've successfully created a habit that's not helpful. Now you know that you can create a habit that is helpful.
Amazing.
Yeah. Just, you know, getting them to recognize that they have the power to change and that it's challenging as well, because these things run deep.
They do. And
give
me an example of, I mean, the gentleman you just mentioned was a classic example, but perhaps of some of the linguistic side of things, so people can start to recognize what they say. I mean, I know for one thing that, you know, when I ask somebody how they are and they say, oh, fine, mustn't grumble, could be better sort of thing. And I just think, oh, gosh, that's just such a nondescript, flat response to life. It's not authentic. It's not really real. I mean, how are you really feeling? That's what I want to know.
Yes.
So what are a couple of things that people can look out for and how would they turn that around?
Yes. Oh, some of my favorite linguistic patterns. You can release so much suffering if you remove the word should from your vocabulary.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah.
Honestly, it's like instant relief. Do it or don't do it. Stop talking about what you should do. If you're not doing it, it's not a priority. If it's not a priority and you want it to be a priority, then guess what? Make it a priority. So when you release the should, because the shoulds, they're so like energy draining, because people go out and like they go out to lunch and go, oh, I should be at the gym, or they go to the gym and think, oh, I should be with my kids, or they're with their kids and they think, oh, I should be at work. Get rid of the should. Should is like such, just releases so much energy for so many other things. Some of the other language patterns that are so disabling are terms like everyone, everything, all the time, never. These are really, really disempowering. Like if you're having an argument with someone, and I use this one, my husband, I used to say to him, you know, you never take the rubbish out. And then actually was like, actually, no, he does sometimes. So taking it from like, you never take the rubbish out to, well, you rarely take it out is, you know, it takes the pain out of it a little bit. And shall I tell you a little story about everyone?
Yeah.
My favorite everyone story. My daughter, when she was 11 years old, my daughter's got red hair, and the kids at school in England, they seem to like to pick on kids with red hair.
Oh yes,
so,
they do.
Yeah. So she's about 11 years old at school, and she comes home from school one day, and she goes, and I've just been learning NLP, so I'm like ripe and ready to go in there with these new stuff, new things I'm learning. So she said, everyone at school makes fun of my hair, and I'm like, oh wow. I go, everyone? How do they do that? I said, do they like line up at the school when you're walking in and they sort of point at you and go, she's got red hair? And she said, no, it's not like that. She said, it's Emily's group. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we've got it from everyone in the school to Emily's group. So we've narrowed it down. So I said, so how many are there in Emily's group? And she said, there's 8 of them. And I said, so of those 8, how many actually make fun of you? And she said, just Emily. And you could see the relief on her face, the recognition that not everybody at school picks on her. One person picks on her. It just changes. So when you're using, and that's not, you know, it's not relevant for an 11-year-old kid. It's relevant across life. I never get things the way I want them. Nothing ever goes in my favor. I always fail. I can't do this. I can't do that. That's such disempowering language. That's such disempowering. And you know, people can create what they want. It's about opening your mind to believing that there is something else other than what is on offer. If what is on offer does not serve your soul at its deepest, most authentic level.
Mm. Absolutely. I love that story. So like you say, it's relevant across the board.
Yes. See, I love when people really connect with what matters to them, and it's like getting past the fear and anything other than living your purest heart's desire is fear-based. You know, it's I can't do this because I came from this, I can't do, like, all these excuses are fear-based. Mm-hmm. And they are very likely to be expectations that other people placed on you, like other people mm-hmm. telling you how high you can rise. Oh, you don't want to try and do that. No one ever did anything like that. We don't do stuff like that around here. So people imposing their own limitations and people accept that. Like if they don't delve into their soul and start questioning what matters to them, they'll believe what other people tell them and the limitations people put on them as if that's their truth.
Mm. And it takes something like a verbal moment to wake up, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. Or, you know, it takes, I think there's a lot of people who are like, who are speaking about sea level. There's a lot of people that are hanging on. I'm thinking of the scene at the end of the Titanic, you know, and all the bits of wood are floating and some people are like hanging on to the wood. There are some people that are like hanging on to the wood. They're like, I know I can come up for air at some point, but I don't know what to do when I get here because everyone around me is limited. And when you start to grow, you start to outgrow. So you can't always stay with the people who you've been with so far on the journey, because they may be the people who may love you very dearly, but will be also the ones to pat you on the back and go, there, we don't do things like that around here. You're not capable of doing that, and keep you in your box. So making that change requires finding people who are going to help you to grow, people who are your cheerleaders, people who go, when you say, you know what, I want to affect 1 million lives, I want to impact 1 million people, that they go, I'm with you, how can I help you? Not, you can't, you got to be crazy. You know, having the people who are your cheerleaders.
And I know this is one of your things, isn't it? To affect a huge amount of lives over the next 2 years through courses, public speaking, workshops, television, radio, social media, etc. So tell us a little bit more about your dream, because I often say that, or think that, it's in sharing our dreams that other people can start to find themselves in their own.
Yeah. I would love to be traveling around the world, delivering my message, focusing primarily on women. I feel so connected with women. And it's so funny because I think, is it just because I'm a woman? But I know a lot of other female coaches actually focus just on men or focus on men and women. But I really connect with women. I really want them to shine. I want them to stand in their greatness, whether their greatness is about being as kind and loving as Mother Teresa or as like driven as any male out there in the community, in the business world, whatever their dream, as long as it's what speaks to their soul. So I want people to really connect matters to them, because my own experiences, the more I'm connecting with what I love, and this is what I love, the more the world opens up, the more opportunities come my way. Being on this radio show is one of my dreams. This is helping me to broaden my message. So the magic just happened. You plant the seeds, you believe, you cultivate it. You don't keep digging it up every day. You plant it, you trust, you put the work in, you do the right things, you make the right connections, and the universe conspires in your favor. In your favor. And so many people are looking for the evidence of what's not working because they're so accustomed to looking at what's not working. And so this is one of the other ways I keep them above sea level. It's like, let's start focusing. Let's start building that bank of times when I was really awesome, times when I was really brilliant, times when I had a great time, times when I was super confident, and building that up. So this is how I would love a world where everyone is at their best. You know, Amy, you know when you go to a concert and you see a brilliant musician or you see a brilliant dancer or you see someone painting and you know they're just in their element?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it just be magnificent to see the whole world lit up like that if every person was living their truest desire rather than these culturally imposed limitations?
Oh my God, it would be incredible.
Right? I know. Like,
I'm totally with you.
Yeah, because when you are living the highest expression of yourself, there is no competition.
Yeah.
There's no competition because there's nobody who's going to be able to think, feel, see, execute everything that you do in the way that you do it. It's about bringing your own brilliance and letting your own brilliance come through. There's no competition. And that's not particularly easy. I find myself, Amy, I don't know if you ever would admit to this or you feel it yourself, but I get sometimes like, oh my God, what is she doing? She's doing such great stuff. Oh my God, what is she doing? She's getting miles ahead of me. And then when I get back and just stay in your own lane, Denise, focus on what you do and do what you do well, the magic happens.
Yeah. You step into flow.
Yeah. And too many people are so focused on what other people are doing and then being copies of things and rather than being, you know, the true brilliant original that they are.
Mm-hmm. And I think what we saw from the Goddess Unleashed event that we were at is also, you know, from the well-versed speakers to those who were standing up for the very first time, is that the power of story and of sharing your story, your authentic story, it really begins to break people's hearts open, and they start to see that they can, you know, they find themselves in various different stories. And it kind of gives them permission. It's a bit like that Marianne Williamson quote about shining your own light so others can do the same.
Yes.
And it's sharing stories, which is why I love doing this show, because I love finding out about people and, you know, how they got to be where they are and the story in between and the bits that don't often get revealed.
Yes, yeah.
So it really is, like you said, allowing that brilliance to shine through.
I had one of my clients on my course at the moment. She's like, oh, my heart is just so full of love for her. She just does the most amazing things. And she got on stage with me this weekend. I was on stage at this event in London. And she was in the audience. And I was just like, you know what? She's going to come on stage with me. She needs to tell her story.
Oh, wow.
And I got her on stage. And she had a few minutes. And she told her story. And she said, I used to be embarrassed of who I was. I was embarrassed of my story. I felt I was angry at my parents for the way they were to me. I was, you know, and she said, and now I feel like I've been set free. And oh, I feel tearful just thinking about it, that she stood on stage in front of 100 people and just told the story. And everybody felt just a little bit more in love with her.
Yeah.
Because when we're vulnerable, people fall in love with us.
Right. Oh, amazing. That's such a great story.
Yeah,
cool.
She's done me so proud. I'm sorry, carry on.
So I want to delve a little bit now into, given that we were just talking about brilliance and shining our own light, what is being brilliant for you?
I think it's coming back to what I was just saying about finding the thing that you love to do and throwing yourself into it, just trusting that if you invest the time and energy into practicing your craft, whatever it is, whether it's making furniture or whether it's cooking a fantastic meal or making clothing or running a business, whatever it is, that you do it and you do it as the fullest expression of yourself, and that you will attract the right people to you to enable you to continue, who will support you, who will love you. And this is another thing I say to clients as well. When I was not living as my most authentic version of myself, there were people who didn't like me. And guess what? Now that I am living the most authentic version, there are still people that don't like me, but it doesn't matter.
And how do you feel now about those who don't like you? Because, you know, I know that a lot of people, again, in the seeking approval, we always want to please everybody. But of course, we soon learn in this process that you can't. It's impossible. So what was your takeaway from that?
That love the people who love you, and the others don't really matter, because it's not even personal, because it could never be personal. It's never personal. And if you're not familiar with The Four Agreements, it's such a brilliant book. Are you familiar with it?
Yes. Yeah.
I absolutely love it. It transformed my life. When I use it all the time. I quote from it all the time. Never take things personally. It's never personal. It can never be personal. And so when I go on stage, I know there are going to be people who are like, oh my God, she's so big mouth American. And then there's going to be other people. And then there's going to be people who are just like, oh my God, I love her. I love her energy. I love her effervescence. I love her stories. I love what she's got. And they become part of my extended family. And the ones who don't get me, I don't need them. There's 7 billion people on the planet. I only have room for like so many. So, you know, I'm there to shine the light for the people who love me. I'm a natural born leader, as yourself. Yeah. And it's my job to put my message out in a way that's going to connect with people. And I actually believe I've got a great, important message for people, because my message is, be the best version of yourself. Don't try to be a copycat of anyone. There will be something amazing about you. Just let it go. Let it come out. Find it through your meditation. Find it through your daily practices. And then just go for it.
Yeah. Amazing. The book that Denise just mentioned, just to recap on that, is called The Four Agreements. And it's by a guy called Don Miguel, M-I-G-U-E-L. Ruiz, which is R-U-I-Z, and it's an absolute game changer. I recommend everyone to go out. It's in English, Spanish, and all sorts of other languages.
Yeah.
It's
one of those books that you should buy a copy for yourself and 10 for the people around you.
That's exactly what I did. Love it. Cool. So what would be your top three insights for the brilliant, being brilliant listeners to walk away with today after this interview?
I would like everyone to know that they can get above sea level, that they can put practices, daily practices into place. And it's just like going to the gym. You can't just buy a gym membership and expect to become fit. You've got to use it. You can't buy the ingredients and expect a fantastic meal to come out of not putting the effort in. You've got to put the effort in. It's the same thing with your mental personal development as it is with anything else. You've got to be consistent. So creating a consistent pattern of behavior that becomes a habit for you, and you can change, you can shift your life. The second thing is to know that it is challenging to change those, pardon me, to change those beliefs from the imprint years. It's challenging, but it's not impossible. So that they can get above sea level, they can change the palette that they colored when they were younger. And what else do I want them to know? I want them to know that there's something amazing in them, and if they're not living it and they feel something inside, to ask themselves a critical question before bed. If I knew what I should be doing with my life to be the highest expression of myself, what would that be? And just let the universe answer. Your brain will start to seek the answer when you ask the critical question.
Mm.
And those are my three things.
I love it. And I want to go back here just for a moment. It's asking, as you said, critical questions, because a lot of time we get stuck in why me and why did this happen and for me and that sort of thing. But and we're not asking critical, constructive questions that cause us to generate new thinking.
Yes.
So what would you say, what are yours, you know, if you had a go-to few questions, more than just that one, if you had a few more questions up your sleeve, what would you hand out to people to be asking themselves?
Okay, this is a great strategy for getting out of your own thinking, is to imagine who your greatest, who do you admire most in the world? Is it someone alive or dead, someone who's famous or someone from your family? Whoever it is, just put yourself into their shoes and advise yourself. You know, what would great grandma say to me? What would Napoleon Hill say to me? What would Oprah Winfrey say? You can choose anyone, and you stand in
that.
Their shoes, yeah, as if you are them, and advise yourself. What would they do in this situation? Even just, you know, it doesn't have to be a celebrity person, just a dear friend. What would they do? Someone who would choose a different behavior from you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really powerful technique. When someone facilitates that, I always get amazing breakthroughs with clients going through a process like that. So asking yourself, you know, what would I know a lot of Christians say, what would Jesus do? It's the same thing. What would Oprah do? What would my great grandma do? And literally put yourself, not literally, but, you know, put yourself as if you were that person.
I love that. And I'm going to share another thing here that I do additionally to that. And is have my own board of advisors. And so
I love it.
What I do is I have a big sheet of paper stuck on the wall in front of my computer. And there I have sort of 8 to 10 of the people I most admire in the world. My dog was on there too, who died last year. And, you know, he, of course, is just oozing unconditional love all the time. But you know, there are people on there who really, really deeply inspire me, both in an athletic world, because I love athletics, both in a business world, et cetera. And I do that, and I have I cut out pictures of them and call them and stick them on there and call them my advisory board. And then I sit and ask each one, what would they do in this situation?
Oh my God, I'm so going to do that. I'm going to do that. When we get off the phone, I'm going to have
It's so cool.
I'm going to have my inspired advisory board.
There you go. Amazing.
I love it. I love it. That's absolutely brilliant. So yeah, so just ask yourself the question, go with your advisory board, create your advisory board, and the critical question before bed, the positively phrased one, because your brain will start to generate the solutions. And you can ask any kind of question in terms of, like, you know, what are the next steps to grow my business to the next level? And you'll just start coming up with, you'll awaken with ideas. The more you do this, the more your brain starts seeking those solutions for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have the phrase that goes, energy flows where attention goes.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is like exactly that. You're just saying, you know, where you choose to focus your attention is where your energy will end up going. So if you're focusing on the negative, then you're just going to get more of that.
Well, and that's it as well. That comes back to the linguistic pattern. So when people say, you know, I don't want to be broke. I don't want to be fat. I don't want to be unloved, whatever it is. They're attracting that very thing, because to say they don't want it, you've got to envision that very thing. So it's about creating, and in terms of creating what you want, it's no good saying, I don't want to be fat, so you change it to, okay, I want to be really healthy, but the underlying thing is, I don't want to be fat. It's about embodying what it's going to be like when you're slim, fit, and healthy. And living as if you are already that, so that you are a vibrational frequency match for the thing that you desire rather than the thing that you don't desire.
Yeah, I love that you just brought that up as well. because desire, I used to have, but like being English as well, I used to have this big thing about, you know, desire, and it was just nonsense. And I went on a coaching course a couple of years ago, and this, it was with an American woman, and she was all about desire this, desire that, desire the other. Just like, what? But the underlying thing was, is when you really desire something, when you're really passionate about something, you get emotionally involved. And when you get emotionally involved in a great way, you raise your vibration. That's exactly what you're saying.
Yes.
And yes, it's almost like your energy, you know, the emotions, thoughts follow the, sorry, the thoughts create the emotions. And if they're positive emotions and positive thinking, you raise your vibration and you get to where you want to be much quicker.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is another, this probably should have been my third point, that if you are doing affirmations, they have to have the same emotional impact as the negative voice in your head. Because so many people give that power to, like, you know, oh, you're so stupid, or you're so this, or you're so that. And then they'll look in the mirror and go, you're great. I think you're amazing. I am wonderful. And it's got to have that heart behind it. It's got to have, you are amazing. I am awesome. I am powerful. I am successful. I am abundant in every way. And you've got to have the heart in it. You can't go, yeah, I am abundant.
Yeah.
Your subconscious mind will. The most intense emotion is what the subconscious mind will accept as fact.
Yes, exactly. And that's why you have to be so clear and focus on the emotional part, because it doesn't know the difference. It just focuses on the intensity of the emotion, not negative or positive, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. I feel like we've dug up lots and lots of diamonds for people to walk away with today. And I know on the 5th of June, you have a 21-day online happiness project starting.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yes. So this is keeping you above sea level thing. I created this course. I did market research. I spoke to about 100 people, and I did a thematic analysis. I looked at all of the data that I collected from these conversations. And I thought, okay, I'm going to put something together that's going to overcome all their objections. I'm going to make it a no-brainer for people to join this. So what I was getting is that people want coaching. A lot of women want coaching. They don't necessarily want it. They don't necessarily have the disposable income to invest in it. And they might not have dabbled in it before, so they might not know what they're getting. So I put together, I had 8 objections. I could overcome all of them. And I put together this 21-day program. And what it is, it's every single day they will get a little snippet from the world of positive psychology, which it's designed to increase their vibrational frequency. It'll put them in a place of either feeling gratitude or feeling love or feeling joy or feeling any sort of positive emotion, and, you know, any number of them. So over 21 days, they're going to have that consistent high. If they do the exercise, they will get that high. They will get that above sea level thing. And then this begins to start training them. So 21 days is meant to be the time it takes to build a habit. I do think it's a little bit longer than that. Yeah. 21 days is going to give them, every single day, there's something that they do. The exercise is between 10 and 15 minutes, and go out, do the exercise. It's going to be a little bit outside of your comfort zone. Like, one of the exercises is that you've got to contact 5 people that you know, love, and trust, and you have to speak to them and send them an email, I'll send a template to them saying, you know, tell me how do I present in the world? What are my gifts? What value do I bring? So it's putting yourself out there to get that. But the ones who went out and did that exercise were like, oh my God, I feel so valuable. I feel so good. I feel so loved. So the benefit is to see what you bring, you know, how do people respond to you? What value do you bring to the world? To get that feedback from the people who know, love, and trust you is just incredible. So that's just, like, that's one day's exercise. So there's 21 of them. Some of them will really resonate with people. Other ones won't. That's why you've got 21 days to go through it. You can do the same one twice in a row if you like it. I wanted to get a large volume of people exposed to getting above sea level consistently. That was my goal with it.
Yeah, and amazing. And I love your above sea level analogy too. So, you know, we're all used to the iceberg analogy, aren't we? And it's just that that little bit peeking out the top, or we want to turn that the other way out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where can people find this 21-day online happiness project?
They can connect with me through Facebook, which is Denise Mortimer. I'm also known as the Fabulous Finder on Facebook. I'm easy to find as the Fabulous Finder. And they can connect with me, and I can send details on the program. Alternatively, I can be emailed at fabulous@denisemortimer.com.
Great.
I'd be delighted. And the program is a giveaway, no-brainer price of £21, because I want people to have an undeniable experience of how amazing life can be.
£21 in 21 days. That's pretty amazing.
Yes. Yes. That's my gift.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Denise, thank you so much. I've had an absolute blast on this show with you today.
It's been my pleasure.
Yeah, it's been so much fun. I can't wait to meet up with you again in London.
Yes, indeed.
And do lots more fabulous finding.
Thank you so much, Amy.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for listening in. Be sure to tune in 2 weeks from now. And in the meantime, go out there and be your brilliant selves. Be the lighthouse. Shine your own light, no matter how fierce the storm. Thank you very much. This is Amy Hackett-Jones and the Being Brilliant Radio Show. See you soon.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Try my jumbo breakfast platter with scrambled eggs, 8 mini pancakes, hash brown, and bacon or sausage for just $2.99.
$2.99? Shut the front door.
Of the van or... Craven! Only at Jack in the Box. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Contour presents Terrible Impersonations.
Yo, Adrian.
So fluffy.
Say hello to my little friend.
With Contour's voice remote, you don't have to be good. You just have to say it and your TV finds it.
Hey, son of a nutcracker!
Voice remote on Contour from Cox. Cable TV reimagined to get you right to the good stuff. Available to residential customers in Cox service areas. Broadband Wi-Fi connection required for app-based viewing. Not all famous movie quotes are searchable. Other conditions apply.
Life is full of big moments. Getting married. Having kids. Moving into a new home. These are the kind of moments that change everything. And they might have you making changes to things you don't always think about, like your health coverage. Covered California wants you to know that when you have a big life change, you may be able to enroll in health coverage or adjust your current plan. The enrollment window is limited, so to see if you qualify or to find one of our local experts, visit coveredca.com today. Covered California. It's more than just health care. It's life care.